Areena. This week we look at Finland's changing perception of China.
Well, I think for many years, yes, Finland did not see China as any sort of threat.
We explore carbon offsets for air travel.
I wouldn't say that your flight has been compensated in that way, that the exact emissions that you have emitted have been reducted in that place in India. So yes, that's a problem.
And shine a light on driving during Finland's dark months. Hello, I'm Zina Iovino.
I'm Veronica Kontipolu.
And this is All Points North. This week, we're looking at Finland ringing the alarm bell on China, the sometimes murky world of carbon offsets, and Finnish driving hazards. But before all that, Veronica, what's caught your attention in the news this week?
Well, like everyone else in Finland, I've been watching the NATO process drag on. But the Finnish president and foreign minister have been upbeat about the progress in Finland's NATO bid. Here's Foreign Minister Pekka Haavisto at this week's Nordic Council meeting that took place in Helsinki.
As you know, Finland and Sweden applied for the NATO membership last spring. We have been quite successful in ratification process. We have now 28 out of 30 NATO countries that has ratified. We have two remaining countries, Hungary and Turkey. We are still waiting for the process, and we have this trilateral cooperation with Sweden, Turkey and Finland, looking at some of those concerns that Turkey raised in Madrid summit. We are looking forward, of course, this end of this ratification process to be as rapid as possible.
Nordic leaders gathered in Helsinki this week for a meeting of the Nordic Council, which, of course, is the Nordic country's body for interparliamentary cooperation.
Maailmanpolitiikassa vallitsee kylmää sotaakin hyisempi tunne.
Now, at that meeting, we heard Finnish President Sauli Niinistö saying that there is a colder atmosphere in world politics today than during the Cold War. Now, at this meeting, Yle asked Niinistö what his position was on the placement of nuclear weapons systems in Finland after becoming a NATO member. He said that possibility seemed far-fetched.
That's interesting, as at the same time, Prime Minister Sanna Marin has said it's important that Finland does not set preconditions on its pending NATO membership. Marin said she does not rule out nuclear weapons or permanent NATO bases in Finland.
Right, she made those comments to Yle last weekend when she also talked about her government's priorities for its remaining months in office. Marin said those included the economy and the war in Ukraine, but also Finland's China policy, which caught my attention.
Finland's Chinese relations haven't exactly topped any political agendas lately, although I do remember we covered news that Helsinki University was closing down its China-funded Confucius Institute.
Yes, that shutdown followed a similar move by universities across Western countries to shutter China-sponsored centers on campuses. Now, as these centers are specialized in Chinese language and culture, Confucius Institutes have come to be criticized as being a part of Beijing's soft power push. But to get some more context on Marin's comments about Finland's China policy, I talked to Mikael Vigel of the Finnish Institute of International Affairs.
I think there's been an awakening to the fact that also China is threatening with sanctions more frequently these days. So we have seen sanctions becoming a central instrument in international politics in recent years. And it's mostly been about the US and Europe using sanctions. But now what we discover is that also China has become more active in threatening other countries with sanctions, for instance, Lithuania in Europe. And in order to use sanctions and be able to threaten with sanctions, there needs to be interdependence of some sort. So if the case is that Finland would be very dependent on China for certain strategic goods, that would give China leverage over Finland, and China could threaten Finland with sanctions and possibly use sanctions against Finland quite effectively. So that's part of probably this concern right now with being too dependent.
At this point, we should explain that Vigel's mention of Lithuania relates to the Baltic country becoming a target of China's trade embargo after it began building closer economic ties with Taiwan. But how dependent is Finland on China?
Helsingin Sanomat recently reported that China directly accounts for some 9% of Finnish imports. I also asked Mikael Vigel how Finland's perception of China has changed.
Well, I think for many years, yes, Finland did not see China as any sort of threat. And the thinking was very much that the more the merrier, the more economic cooperation with China, the better, that Finland could profit from it. But in recent years, concerns have become more sort of prominent also in Finland, that there are these risks of becoming very dependent on China, that, for instance, now there's a lot of talk about critical minerals, for instance. In Europe, we have these very ambitious goals for our green transition to alternative energy production forms. And there, certain minerals are critical for that transition. And China controls something around 90% of critical minerals that go in, for instance, to battery production for new electric vehicles. And China could use that very, very prominent control of critical minerals to threaten Europe and to put Europe in a very difficult bind. And that's a concern. And there are other also in other economic sectors where we find ourselves now, not only in Finland, but in the whole of Europe, very dependent on China. For instance, antibiotics. We're extremely dependent on Chinese production and Chinese export to us of antibiotics. So there are these certain very strategic goods that China these days control very much, and Europe has become concerned that China might use those strategic goods for strategic leverage.
And that was Mikael Vigel from the Finnish Institute of International Affairs talking about Europe's rethink on China as many European countries deal with the fallout of their energy dependence on Russia.
Would you like a weekly summary of the top stories from Finland sent straight to your inbox? Just sign up for our weekly newsletter. Go to yle.fi/news and look for the newsletter tab at the top of the page. That's yle.fi/news.
COP27 kicks off in the Red Sea resort town of Sharm el-Sheikh this weekend.
Over the years, activists have criticized the UN's top climate conference as a forum for greenwashing.
Joining COP's Nordic Pavilion, Finland says it will be introducing the concept of climate smart food systems. So I did a bit of research about what this means, and apparently it's about restructuring our food systems in a way that combines healthy and sustainable eating whilst enabling just climate action. Now, this does sound promising, but Zina, how is Finland actually doing in regard to reaching its goal of carbon neutrality by 2035?
I'm looking at Finland's annual climate report here, just published by the Environment Ministry.
And what does it say?
Well, it says that Finland is making progress towards carbon neutrality by 2035. But in this report, Environment Minister Maria Ohisalo draws attention to Finland's forests and fields for the first time turning from carbon sinks into a source of emissions.
Right. I remember we reported the Natural Resources Institute saying that logging exceeds sustainable levels in southern Finland. And just this week, we ran a story about how coal-powered electricity and heat generation rose 8% in the first 9 months of this year compared to the same period last year. But bringing this discussion down to a grassroots level, Zina, this week you've been looking at something ordinary people have been doing to try to minimize their carbon footprint.
That's right. I was in touch with Yle's MOT unit to follow up on their investigation into carbon offsetting with regard to Finnair.
Carbon offsetting allows air passengers to pay extra to help compensate for the carbon emissions produced from their flight, right?
Yes, that's the theory anyway. Mott took a closer look at a Finnair compensation project in India's Chikbalapur district. The project supplies families with small biogas plants. On its website, Finnair says installing biogas plants, quote, provides a clean and safe way of cooking that reduces greenhouse gas emissions by switching to 100% renewable energy. Carbon offsetting is, of course, a broadly debated topic. Here's Yle journalist Jessica Stoltzman, who traveled to India to see Finnair's carbon offsetting program in action.
I wanted to find out where the money goes when you offset your flights operated by Finnair. So I went to India, to the countryside, where they have this biogas project in Chikbalapur district in Karnataka. And there, Indian families have been helped to switch to using biogas for cooking instead of burning wood. And this reduces the emissions of CO2. And this reduction in emissions is sold, for instance, to Finland and Finnair's customers. So I wanted to travel there to know how it works and if the reduction in emissions really happens as promised.
And what did you find?
Well, I found that it's quite hard work for the families using this biogas. They need to have cattle in order to have the dung. And then they collect the dung from the field several times a day and mix it with water by hand in order to have and to get this biogas for cooking. And what I found out was that only a little more than half of the families that have biogas plants installed were using them. The problem is that the families can't afford to have cattle. So to me, it seemed that it was not a very effective way. This is, of course, not a problem as long as the offset is monitoring properly. But the families are monitoring the projects themselves.
Now, Jessica explained that monitors do visit the village to see how things are going, but this only happens once every 2 to 3 years.
And that's not often, is it?
It doesn't seem so, but Jessica said that this frequency complies with a major carbon standard known as the gold standard. But she also told me that efficient monitoring wasn't the only problem she encountered.
One could argue that as biogas has been used in India since the 80s, and it has even been subsidized by the government, the families would use biogas anyway. This is something that I could see traveling around to several villages, that families use biogas even without this carbon money. So one could, you know, ask if there really is a climate impact in this project.
You talked to Finnair when you came back from your trip. Mm-hmm. What was their response?
Well, they are trusting the standard, gold standard, that is certifying this project. So they say that they have all the trust in this project. So they're not questioning it in any way.
It's, of course, important to remember that climate compensation is a huge market.
It is. And this Finnair offset project in India runs through a Norwegian and a Dutch company.
So there are several middlemen in between who sells and buys the credits. This is a very, very huge market. It's a billion market in general, this whole climate compensation market. And the problem is also that it's a quite new market, and the product itself is invisible. So it makes it quite vulnerable to all sorts of greenwashing, frauds and scams.
When I'm buying my plane ticket and the service asks me, do you want to offset your trip? How confident can I be that it is?
Well, there has been maybe something good for the climate, but I wouldn't say that your flight has been compensated in that way, that the exact emissions that you have emitted have been reduced in that place in India. So yes, that's a problem.
And that was Yle journalist Jessica Stoltzman. But before we move on, let's listen to a clip from Leo Saldanha. He is an Indian environmental analyst who also spoke to Mott.
Unfortunately, anything that you do today is turned into, I'm going to fix climate change by putting a biogas plant. That should stop, because that's faking yourself. I am of the view that carbon offset money is absolutely unnecessary for biogas. This should be normative to how we actually use natural resources. If you do the math, you'll find that your flight has contributed so much that an entire year's consumption of biogas in that village is not going to add up. Not even a few passengers. So if you want a good conscience, you should push Finnair back and say, you know what, take that money and actually make sure there is structural changes around the world.
You can join the conversation too. Let us know what you think on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also leave a voice note or text on WhatsApp. Our number is +358 44 421 0909.
Shall we have a look at what else has been making the news this week?
Let's do it. First up, the government proposed setting aside some 6 million euros for the trialling of a 3-kilometer-long partial fence along Finland's eastern border with Russia.
Prime Minister Sanna Marin saw her Social Democrats' support dip by 1.1 percentage points in the latest Yle poll. That's the largest change for any party in this month's voter sentiment survey.
Another Yle poll found that the majority of MPs think Finland should boost nuclear energy production. The energy crisis caused by Russia's invasion of Ukraine appears to have increased support for nuclear power in Finland.
Finnish Transport and Communications Agency Traficom has cancelled more than 2,000 taxi licenses. Most of the cancellations were over drivers lacking formal qualifications.
Finnish security firm F-Secure said the records of around 200,000 Finland-based LinkedIn users have been leaked on a hacking forum. LinkedIn has strongly denied claims about the leak.
The Helsinki Regional Transport Authority, HSL, announced it will be raising prices for central commuting, but also lowering some of its fares for those traveling longer distances.
Helen, the city of Helsinki's energy company, has reported a large profit in the third quarter of the year. At the same time, customers face sharp rate hikes.
The Employment Ministry said the labor shortage is most acute in the social and healthcare sectors, as well as at schools and in restaurants.
And finally, US rapper 50 Cent's first Finnish show faced low ticket sales, a one-hour delay, as well as concession stand problems. Ticket sales were weak, even though 100 ticket holders could bring a friend to the Seinäjoki show for free.
Veronica, I seem to remember he rebranded as 85 Cent to make up for inflation.
No one is safe from inflation, it seems.
We've been hearing that meteorologists are disappointed with the long-term weather forecast for November. What's that about?
Yes, according to Forica's monthly outlook, November is set to be several degrees warmer than average. So most likely we won't be seeing any snow to brighten the hours of darkness.
We've had time to get used to darkness falling earlier in the afternoon since we switched back to wintertime.
Indeed, and this winter darkness is placing a toll on the mental health of people in the country, with more than 100,000 Finns reporting they experience seasonal depression symptoms. That's according to a report by newspaper Ilta Sanomat.
That is definitely something for us to follow up on, but you've been looking at driving during the darker months, haven't you?
Yes, we had a message from our listener Guillaume about what he calls Finnish car culture. He says, and I quote here, "Having lived in a few other countries in Europe, I am astounded at the use of mobile phones while operating a vehicle here in Finland. Also, the use of pedestrian crossings seems like a gamble with death, whether or not the driver will yield or not." So thank you for reaching out to us, Guillaume. We love hearing from you, so do keep sending us your messages. Our WhatsApp number is +358 44 421 0909. But yeah, road safety is increasingly compromised during the autumn and winter months. In fact, Leena Piippa, contact manager at the Finnish Road Safety Council, told me both drivers and pedestrians alike could do more to stay safe on the roads during the darker months. Let's have a listen to what she had to say.
When it's dark outside, the traffic risks are the same as when it's light, but people can't see them so well. So that's why, for example, lower speed limits are set on roads at this time of the year. This kind of proactive driving style is very important in the coming months. So that means reducing speed and keep good safety distances and be attentive. Distraction is a very big problem in traffic.
And for pedestrians, what's their perhaps number one thing that pedestrians should do to keep themselves safe during the dark months? Mm.
Well, reflectors are very important. And according to our Liikenneturva's observations, only one in two pedestrians wears a reflector. So the most common reason for not wearing one is forgetfulness. And that's why we have these campaigns. Our campaign this autumn is Be Strongly Visible. And we want to remind pedestrians that now is the time to wear a reflector. And please remember to wear it every time you go outside. So it is very important. It helps the car drivers to see pedestrians in the dark streets, even in cities where there are street lights. It's as important there as in other places in traffic.
It is indeed shocking how few reflectors you see on the streets, especially considering that there is a wide range of reflective items to choose from, such as reflector beanies, coats, and backpacks.
Being too cool for a reflector is not, however, the only problem compromising road safety nowadays. The little device in our hands that we constantly stare at and keeps us distracted could one day cost us or someone else their life, as Beepa explains.
If you don't concentrate what you are doing when you are driving a car and you maybe have a mobile phone in your hand and you maybe glance at it, then you may not see the pedestrian in front of you crossing a road. And the same applies for pedestrians. If your attention is on a mobile phone and you are going across the road and you may not see the car that is coming, it may be a slippery and the car driver wants to stop but is not able to. So it's joint effort to make sure that the traffic is safe for all of us.
And that was Leena Piippa from the Jyväskylä office of the Finnish Road Safety Council.
I think that's all we've got time for this week. But as usual, before we go, I want to know if you have any exciting plans for the weekend, Veronica.
Well, nothing too exciting. I was thinking of dusting off my old paintbrushes and adding some color to the doom and gloom of these days.
That does sound creative. Have you got an arena tip for me as well?
Yes, I do. In what could be described as the love child between Project Runway and the Great British Bake Off, BBC reality competition series The Great British Sewing Bee searches for Britain's most sensational amateur seamster.
Wow, thanks for that. Before we go, we'd like to thank you, our audience, for listening to and supporting All Points North, and especially for all the messages you send us. Please keep them coming in via WhatsApp. I'd also like to give a big thanks to our audio engineer, Anders Johansson. Don't forget, you can keep up to date with all the latest news from Finland in English at yle.fi/news. Have a great week. Bye.
Goodbye.